two things I want to do today. The first is I want to say over a nice piece from Rav Zhalti in the Mishnah Siyavitz in Chelek Yerodeya relating to the Gemara on the bottom of Mem Aleph and Beis, and then I want to go back and discuss Chadash. It's just if I start the discussion of Chadash, we'll never get to Rav Zhalti. Rav Zhalti is a shorter piece, so I feel like if I start with that, I might get back, hopefully, to the Chadash issue. So if you have a chance to look ahead on Mem Aleph and Beis, the Gemara tells us about how the Anshei Yerushalayim used to walk around all day on Sukkot and gives us their daily schedule. So it tells us that Adam Yotze Mibeiso Lulav Abiyado, a guy would leave his house in the morning carrying a Zulav. Holech Lebeis HaKnesses Lulav Abiyado, you go to Shul carrying a Zulav. Kari Kriyashma Mispalel Lulav Abiyado, he'd Davin and he'd say Kriyashma and Davin and he'd have his Zulav in his hand. Kari Betor Benos, he's Kapav Menichal Gabi Karko, when he had to lane or do Duchening, so then they put the Lulav on the floor. And then it says, "Holich levakir cholim ulenachim avelim lulav abiyado." That when they would go be mevakir cholim, menachim avelim, they would also carry their lulav with them when they went to do these mitzvahs. Just going through their day, going through the daily schedule. Rav Shechter said in the name of Salvechik that in general Judaism doesn't believe in what we would call ceremonies, in empty ceremonies. Judaism believes in a kiyum mitzvah or nothing. It's either a kiyum mitzvah or it's worthless. So he believed that this is not just telling us a nice ceremony that the Anshei Yerushalayim used to walk around holding the lulav. The Salvechik held it was a kiyum mitzvah that every even though the chiyuv is mida'ag bei nafak bei, from the moment you pick up the lulav you're already yotze the mitzvah and you have fulfilled your chiyuv. The Anshei Yerushalayim did more than that. There was Yeah, that's great. Thank you very much. I'm just afraid by the time I get Temen Alecha, this one's going to be dead. So, thank you. So, the chiyuv is so it's a kiyum mitzvah every moment that they're carrying a lulav. So, I just want to start with three questions. Question number one: it's yontif. They're carrying their lulav around in Yerushalayim. How are they going to be menachem avelim? Isn't there no avelus on yontif? Right? By definition, if they're carrying the lulav, it's yantiv. They're not carrying the lulav before or after yantiv. So how are they going to be menachem avelim? What's the Gemara even talking about? Question number two. The Rambam in Hilchus Avel, the 14th parak of Hilchus Avel, Halacha Zayin, writes that if a person has two mitzvahs to do in a given day, he has to go be mevakir cholim and he has to go be menachem avelim. He's got to do both on a given day. Which one should he do first? So the Rambam says, do Nichum Avelim first, because whereas Bikur Cholim is a mitzvah that you do with the living, that you do as Ben Adam L'Chaveru for the living, Nichum Avelim both helps the living and helps the deceased. Because Nichum Avelim is for the Kavod HaMeis and for the Kavod HaChayim. It's a chesed im ha-chayim v'im ha-mesim. So given the choice, do you want to do chesed with only living people or with living and dead at the same time? Better to do the chesed with the living and dead at the same time. So the Rambam writes in the 14th paragraph of Hilchos Avel, go be menachem avel before you go be mevakir cholim. So kasha that everyone asks on the Rambam, the Yosemech asks on the Rambam, what do you do with our Gemara? Our Gemara says, goes through the daily schedule. It's clearly going through from beginning of the day to the end. Leaving your house, going to shul, kriya shma, tefillah, clearly going in order. And what does it say? Levakir cholim, ulenachim avelim. First bikur cholim, then nichim avelim. That is question number two. Why did the Rambam reverse, why does the Gemara reverse the order from what it's supposed to be, according to the Rambam? The order is supposed to be, you're supposed to do the nichim avelim first. Question number three, unrelated to our Gemara, but about avelus in general. There is a Gemara in Maseches Moed Katan Daf Chav Zayin Amud Aleph where the Gemara says that on Chol HaMoed we do bury people on Chol HaMoed. We don't say the Birchas Avelim on Chol HaMoed, the Gemara says, but we do. We are Omid Beshura. If you've ever been to a Levaya at the cemetery, so right after they bury the deceased, people line up starting four amos away from the grave. People line up on two sides, and the Avelim walk right through the middle of the two lines, and everyone says, Amakom Yenachem, right? That we do a Nichum Avelim Beshura. So the Gemara says, we do that on Chol HaMoed, and then Upotrin Esarabim. We are Poter the masses. So Rashi says, what does it mean, Upotrin Esarabim? Rashi says it means we dismiss. Poter is lush of dismissing. We tell everyone, okay, nothing to see here, you can go home now. Poter Nesarabim. Rashi's a little schwer. I mean, when it ends, everyone goes home. you need to have a special kiyum of being poter as harabim, of telling people, you know, dismissing people? You need to dismiss people from a levaya? A little bit difficult. The Mukha Yosef quotes from the Ravid, poter as harabim means that since on Chol HaMoed, when you do Nichum Avelim, you're Omed Beshura, you're not going to need to, after Yantif, get the lines together again of people and do Nichum Avelim again Beshura, and have the Avelim walk through the rows again after Yantif. That's what Poter Nes Rabim means. The Chiyuv that the Rabim have to be Menachem Avelim Beshura, by lining up and having the Avelim walk through the line, it's already done! So you do it on Chol HaMoed, you don't have to do it again. You did it once, you don't have to do it again. That's what it means, Poter Nes Rabim. That we don't have to do it again after Yantif. Akasha is, according to Mukha Yosef, the Ravid, I understand what it means, Poter Nes Rabim, but the kasha is, what's the hava amina? Why in a million years would I have ever thought that I should have to do it again? Obviously, you did it! They did it on Chol HaMoed. They stood up in the lines, they said, Amok Minachem, it was done! Why would you even have a hava amina that you would go do it again? Those are the three kashas. So again, kasha number one, has there Nichum Avelim on Yantav at all? Kasha number two, the Gemara is out of order. It says, do Bikur Chol and then Nichum Avelim, but the Rambam says, no, Nichum Avelim is better because it's covered in Mesim and covered in Mechaim. And Kasha number three, what's this Poter Nes Rabim that you don't have to do the Shura again? Why would I have a Havamina that you should, yes, do the Shura again? So says Rav Jolti, so beautifully, the Rush and the Tur change the Gersa in our Gemara. They actually have that you're Menachem Avelim, and then that the Anshi Yerushalayim were Menachem Avelim, and then Mevaker Cholim. Okay, the Rush and the Tur is great, because it makes sense. That's what you're supposed to do first. The Rambam in Hilchos Lulav doesn't change the Gersa in our Gemara. He keeps it the way we have it. The Rambam in Hilchos Lulav talks about the Anshi Yerushalayim in the 7th parak of Hilchos Lulav, Halach Chaf Dalid. Kach Haya Minog Yerushalayim. And he goes on, he says, V'yotzei Levaker Cholim Ulenachim Avelim V'lulav Abiyado. You do Bikur Cholim and then Nichim Avelim. So the Kasha stands on the Rambam. Tour in the Rush we got. But the Kasha stands on the Rambam. The Rambam himself in the 7th parak of Hilchos Avel says, sorry, in the 14th parak of Hilchos Avel says that you have to do Nichum Avelim first because it's covered to the Chayim and to the Mesim. Then do Bikur Cholim, it's only covered to the Chayim. But the Rambam himself, when he talks about the Anshi Yerushalayim, says that they would do Bikur Cholim, then do Nichum Avelim. Well, why? Why did the Anshi Yerushalayim do it wrong? So in order to answer this, result, he says, you need to look. And where did the Rambam get this idea that it's covered in Mason, that it's chesed with the Mason to do Nichum Avelim? Where does that come up in Shas? That it's chesed to the Mason. I have to go be Menachem Avel today, friend of the family, relative actually. So I'm going to go be Menachem Avel for the Avel. The Avel is someone I'm close to, so I want to be Menachem and want to give him Nechama. It's been on the Chaveiro. Where do you get the idea that it's covered for the Mason? The Mason isn't even there anymore. So where do we find that it's covered for the Mason? So there's a Gemara in Shabbos, Kufnan Bezim and Aleph. The Gemara in Shabbos says that a meis she'in lo menachemin holchen asar b'nei adam v'yoshen b'mekoma. That if there's someone, there's a meis that no one is there to be menachem, that meis, not no one to be menachem that meis, there's no one to sit shiva who's going to need nechama. There are no relatives. Nebuch. It happens sometimes. A person dies without any krovin. So there's no one to sit shiva for them. So what do you do? So I would have said, what do you do? What do you mean, what do you do? It's like, there's no one to do the mitzvah. What do you mean? So there's no one to sit shiva, so you don't sit shiva. Well, what's the avmina to sit shiva? Says the Gemara, 10 people gather together to his place. The Gemara says, holchen asar b'nei adam v'yoshvin b'mekoma. And they sit there. To what end? What's the point? Why are they sitting there? Gemara doesn't say. Just as you get 10 people together and they sit there. Says the Rambam, Perek Yud Gimel of Hilchos Avel Halacha Dalet, Meis She'in Lo Avelim L'Snachim, a meis who doesn't have anyone to be Mesabel on him. What do you do? Boyim Asara B'nei Adam K'sherin V'yoshvim B'mekoma Kol Shavis Yimei Avelis. You get 10 people, they sit there throughout all the 7 days of Shiva. And the Rambam adds, V'shar Ha'am Iskaptsin Alehen. And everyone else then comes and gathers around them. Says the Ravid on the Rambam, Amar Avram, Ze'en lo Shoresh. I know where the Rambam got the first half of the sentence, where the 10 people come. I get that. That says in the Gemara, Shabbos Kufnun Beis. Shar ha'am miskabtzim alein. He made that part up. It doesn't say that anywhere. Ein lo shorish, the Ravid says. That doesn't say in the Gemara. So says Rav Zolti, the Lacha Mishnah writes that what does the Rambam mean? The Rambam understood, why do you have 10 people gathering together? The Rambam understood that the Gemara is trying to accomplish something. What are they trying to accomplish? The Rambam understood that these 10 people go there to pretend that they are the Avelim. To be the Avelim. So that there could be Nichum Avelim. Because when someone dies, there's a Chiyuv of Nichum Avelim. There are no Avelim. Doesn't matter. Chiyuv of Nichum Avelim. So what do? We get 10 people to be the Avelim, to act as the Avelim, so that Shara'am is captain. Everyone else can gather together and be Menachim, those Avelim. Even though they're not really Avelim. Why? Why would you do that? Why is the Gemara telling you to do that? So the Rambam understands, you see from that Gemara, that the Chiv of Nichum Avelim is not just a mitzvah, to be Menachim, someone who lost a relative. Even when there's no one who lost a relative, because the guy who died had no relatives. The Chiv of Nichum Avelim is that when the Jewish community loses one of its members, there's a chiyuv for cover of that mace to have a process where people sit down and talk about him. Nichum Avelim. Not for the cover of chai, for the cover of mace. The Jewish community just had it, as we discussed from the Big Vayatzom, from Shechter on Thursday, we view the Jewish community as one body. We just had an amputation of one of our limbs, and therefore we all feel it. The community has a responsibility. That's why it's 10 people. 10 people represents the community. The community has a responsibility to recognize that loss. Kavod HaMeisim. It's not for the Chai. It's Kavod HaMeisim. So there you see that Nichum Avelim is not only Benal Mechavero to the Chayim. It's not only Kavod HaChayim. It's also Kavod HaMeisim. Now, the Me'iri says explicitly like that on the Gemara in Shabbos. The Rambam, it's a tirah to say, oh, when he says Shara Amiskatsin, that's what the Rambam means. Miri says it explicitly. What are these people doing? Ki'ilu hei matzrichim lenachim, the Miri says. They are pretending as if they are the people that need nechama. Vizehu kvodo shel mace, the Miri says. That is the kavod of the deceased. It's a way of doing kavod mace. Now, it would turn out, therefore, that if you have a mace that doesn't have any relatives, the nichum avelim that you do in that situation is not kavod achayim, it's only kavod avesim, right? What did the Rambam say? When you have bikur cholim and nichum avelim to do, which one comes first? What do you do first? Nichum avelim, because it's both kavod avesim and kavod achayim. Bikur cholim is only kavod achayim. It turns out that if you have a choice of bikur cholim or Nichum Avelim when there's no Avelim, when the guy died without relatives, it's just this makeshift Nichum Avelim with these 10 guys, then you should do the Bikur Cholim first. Because Bikur Cholim in that situation is Kavod HaChayim still. That Nichum Avelim is only Kavod HaMesim and not Kavod HaChayim. When you have a choice of Kavod HaChayim or Kavod HaMesim alone, Kavod HaChayim wins. How do I know that? He doesn't quote it here, it's Gemara Ksuvos. Gemara Ksuva says that if two people, second Gemara Ksuva, if you have two processions that are going through the streets, there's a funeral procession and a wedding procession, and they come to a crossroads where one of them has to get a right of way. So it's like from your driving test, right, from your permit test. Who gets the right of way? They both arrive at the stop sign at the same time. So it's not the guy on the right side, which I believe is the correct answer, or the more aggressive driver, which is practically the correct answer. It's not... Who gets the right of way? So the Gemara says the wedding gets the right of way over the funeral. Why? Kavod HaChayim. Kavod HaChayim beats Kavod HaMeisim. Fine. So where are we right now? If you have Nichum Avelim or Bikur Cholim, but the Nichum Avelim is someone who didn't have any relatives died, the Bikur Cholim would win. If it's someone with relatives that died, the Nichum Avelim would win. Says the Or Zeruah. Let's say a person dies on Yontif. Is there Nichum Avelim? Says the Or Zeruah, there is Nichum Avelim on Yantif. Person dies in Yantif, what do? You bury him in Chol HaMoed. The Shiva, all the Nihugei Avelus, the practices of Avelus only begin after Yantif is over, after the second days. but you do Nichum Avelim already in Chol HaMoed. Why? There's no Avel. What do you do Nichum Avelim for? Meaning, even if there are relatives, they're not Avelim until after Yantav, because Avelis only begins after Yantav. What in the world do you do Nichum Avelim for? So the Arzura says, oh, it's because Dvarim Shebetzinah are Noeg on Yantav. That you are an Avel on Yantav, it's just that you're not an Avel publicly. You're a private Avel on Yantav, not a public Avel. That's what the Arzurua says. However, the Rambam says, and we're interested in the Shitas HaRambam right now, you're not even observing Dvarim Shebetzinah on Yantav. On Shabbos, you observe Avelis of Dvarim Shebetzinah, because every Shiva has a Shabbos. By definition, every 7 days has a Shabbos. So on Shabbos, you're still an Avel, it's just Dvarim Shebetzinah. On Yantif, the Avel is not an Avel. Not even Dvarim Shebetzinah. But the Rambam still holds, you're Menachim him. You do Nechama. You do Nichum. But there's no Avel. So why in the world do you do Nichum? If there's no Avel, how can there be Nichum Avelim? Based on what we just said before, sure you could do Nichum Avelim without an Avel. Not the kind that's covered a chayim, that's to honor the living, because the living, the relatives aren't Avelim right now, they'll be Avelim after Yantif. But what kind of Nichum Avelim is it that you do on Yantif? Kavod HaMeisim. Only Kavod HaMeisim. Once we have all of these details in place, all the kashas. Question?
Yeah, how can you bring your
own
relative marriage? I'm not doing Kavod
HaMeisim.
It's just like
bringing to Tisa. Ah, so good. You're asking Loig LaRush. They're going in the, so that's only when the mace is there. There's no Isser, you know, in things that are come to be mechabed the mace. Let's say a hesped shalo b'fanav. Say they bury the guy and then at the shloshim they say a spade. Even though it's clearly for the covenant of the mace, right, there's no isir. So what do we have so far? Nichum Avelim in general is covenant of chayim and covenant of mace. That's why it beats Bikur Cholim. Sometimes Nichum Avelim is only covenant of mace. When? If either there were no relatives or it's yantif, so the relatives aren't Avelim. Then it's only Kavod HaMeisim. When it's only Kavod HaMeisim, Bikur Cholim beats Nichum Avelim. Says Rav Shalti, I think it's B'Shem Yor Sameach. That answers our kashas. Our Gemara, we had the Anshe Yerushalayim. They're walking out on Yantif. So we said, they're going to be Mvakar Cholim and Nachum Avelim. Why are they doing Bikur Cholim first? Shouldn't they be doing Nichum Avelim first? That was one of our kashas. The other kasha is, what kind of Nichum Avelim you do on Yantif? Those two are answered. How do we answer those kashas? What kind of Nichum Avelim do you do on Yantif? You do a Kavod HaMeisim Nichum Avelim on Yantif. The Avelim are not actually Avelim on Yantif. Because their Avelis only starts after Yantif. But it's a Kavod HaMeisim to do Nichum Avelim on Yantif. Ah, if all you got is Kavod HaMeisim, then you have a choice, Bikur Cholim or Nichum Avelim, which one comes first? Bikur Cholim is going to come first. So the Rambam paskens in Hilchos Avel, when he talks about a typical Avel, you have the choice to be Menachem the Avel or to do Bikur Cholim. Of course you do Nichum Avelim first. It's Kavod HaMeisim and Kavod HaChayim. The Rambam talks in Hilchos Lulav, by definition, it's on Yantif. Therefore, by definition, all you got is Kavod HaMeisim. Bikur Cholim is going to come first. He has no need to change the girsi here in the Gemara. Yeah?
Who says it's Yantif?
Chol Moed.
He's talking on Chol Moed.
Right, no Sinni Shiva Chol Moed, just Nichum Avelim. But no, according to the Rambam, not even Dvarim Shebetzinah. You do no practices of mourning in Chol Moed. Why did the Rush change the girsa? Why did the Rush and the Torah flip it around? Well, the Rush happens to hold that you do observe Dvarim Shebetzinah on Yantif as well. If that's the case, then you have an Avel there. If he's an Avel, then it's both Kavod HaMeisim and Kavod HaChayim. And you're going to be Mvakarim. So therefore it's gonna win out. What was the other kasha that we asked? We said, wait a second. There is a Gemara in Moed Katan that says that after they stand Beshura, after they stand in the row, and the Avelim walk through, and they do the Hamakim Menachim in the row, in the Shura. So the Gemara says, Upotr Nesarabim, and then Mukha Yosef said, what does it mean, Upotr Nesarabim? It means that we're not going to have to do it again. So we asked, after Yantiv. So we ask, what's the Hava mean? Why in the million years would I think you'd have to do it again after Yantiv? Based on this, it works out very well. On Yantiv, when we stood Beshura and the Avil walked through, what mitzvah were we being Mekayim? It's Yantiv. We could have only been Mekayim Kavod HaMeis, because it's Yantiv. So I might have thought, after Yantiv, the Avil becomes an Avil. He starts actually observing Avelus. And therefore, what do you still have to do? Kavod HaChayim. I might think, get back together, get in rows again, let the Avil walk through, and fulfill Kavod HaChayim. I might have thought, Kamash Malon, the Gemara says, Upotrin HaSarabim. No, they've already fulfilled their obligation. They don't have to do anything else. That explains the Havamin according to the Mukha Yossi's reading of the Gemara. Here's the question though. The Havamin has just become so good that we don't understand the Maskana. Meaning, once we say that, right, every time you do Nicham Avelim on Yantav, it's only Kavod HaChayim, oh, Kavod HaMeisim, it's not Kavod HaChayim. But Nicham Avelim really is supposed to ideally have both elements of Kavod HaMeisim and Kavod HaChayim. Well, why don't we get back Beshura after Yantiv and do it again in order to fulfill Kavod HaChayim? We couldn't do it on Yantiv, we only did Kavod HaMeisim. So now I understand the Havamina, why you would think to do it, to get back on the Shura to fulfill Kavod HaChayim, but why does the Gemara say not to? So Rav Zhalti doesn't deal with this, but I was thinking, based on Yesod, I heard from Rav Shechter in the name of Salvechik, that we have, why do we even stand Beshura? You ever been to a funeral where after they bury, everyone lines up? Now if you look up and down those lines of people who line up and say Amakom Yenachem, what percentage of them are going to make a Shiva call sometime during the week and get to the Shiva house and say Amakom Yenachem again? Usually somewhere between 98 and 100%. If you're going to the funeral, you're going to pay a Shiva call. They're going to do Nicham Avelim again anyway. Why do we have this whole mitzvah Beshura? What's it all about? Everyone who's there is going to do Nicham Avelim later in the week. Why do we have to line up? And what's this idea of lines? And also, we only do it if we have a minion. Why do we only do it if we have a minion? It's Nicham Avelim. I like to pay a Shiva call when I go to be Menachem Avelim. I always like to do it in the middle of a weekday afternoon. Because then I get to actually talk to the Avil. You go on a Saturday night and forget it. It's like, you know, it's packed. Then you actually get to talk to the Avil a little bit because no one's there. So I have a job that allows me to do that. You know, locally I'm able to. But there's never a minion there, and I do Nicham Avelim. So why by the seventh you need a minion? So Shech said in the name of Salvechik that there are certain mitzvos where there's a dual chiv, where there's a chiv on the Yachid and a chiv on the community, a chiv on the tzibur. For instance, I have a mitzvah. If I make money, I have to give tzedakah. Pashut a mitzvah. The Rambam writes, in addition to that mitzvah, the Rambam says that there's a chiv on every city where there are Jews to have a kupa shel tzedakah, to have a communal charity fund. Whose chiv is that? I make money, I have a mitzvah to give tzedakah. That's my chiyuv. I get it. And if you make money, you have a mitzvah to give tzedakah. Every individual has a mitzvah to give tzedakah. Great. What's this mitzvah of having a kupa shel tzedakah? Where does that come from? That's a chiyuv on a tzibur. That when there's a Jewish community, the Jewish community has certain chiyuvim that as a community they need to take care of. No single individual, as a community they need to take care of. Even though there's a parallel chiyuv on each of the individuals. Separate chiyuv on the community. I have a chiv limad temes b'neichem. I have a chiv to teach my children Torah. The Rambam paskins based on Gemara Basra, b'chol yir b'chol pelech u'pelech, in every city and every village where there are Jews, moshiv and melamdei tinokos. We set up teachers of young children. We set up day schools, yeshivas, for little kids. What do you mean? I have a chiv to teach my kid Torah. If I can't teach my kid Torah myself, so then I gotta hire somebody to teach my kid Torah. Right, that's my chiv. Where does this chiv come from to have a school? That's a chiv on the tzibur. The tzibur is a responsibility to make sure they have a school. Nichum aveilim also. I have a chiv to be menachem navel. It's my chiv. The tzibur has a chiv to recognize the loss of one of their own. The tzibur has a chiv to be menachem aveilim. What do we do at the cemetery of Beshura with the minion? Together, all at the same time. That's the nichum avelim of the tzibur. It's the tzibur fulfilling their chiv. Yes, each individual fulfills his own chiv. So I thought maybe you could say that the nichum avelim of the tzibur is only a chiv of kavod ha-mesim. The tzibur has no chiv of kavod ha-chayim. Why? What's the din? The nature of the din of nichum avelim in a kavod ha-chayim instance, and the nature of the din of nichum avelim in terms of kavod ha-mesim are two totally different din. In kavod ha-chayim, you're actually just trying to make the person feel better. You're trying to give the person comfort. Comfort is given on a personal level, person to person. That's how you make an avel feel better. That's how you give him chizik. It's person to person. Your chovas hayachid is a chiyuv of nichum avelim in kavod ha-chayim, primarily. Maybe also kavod ha-mesim, but at least kavod ha-chayim. The tzibor can't do the kavod ha-chayim. The tzibor's job isn't to give chizik to the living. The tzibor's chiyuv is that we as Klal Yisrael lost one of our own. It's like we had a limb amputated. We can't go on without recognizing that as a tzibor. There needs to be some sort of communal gathering where that is recognized, felt, and expressed. What's that? That's the nichum avelim b'shura. So the Gemara says, I might have had a havamina, that if you do the nichum avelim b'shura on Chol HaMoed, where all you could do is kavod ha-mesim, I might have thought, get together again, do another shura after Yontif, for the sake of kavod ha-chayim. I might have thought that you should do that because you haven't done kavod ha-chayim yet. Kamash malon, what? So I thought maybe the kamash malon is that the chovas ha-tzibur is only a chiv in kavod ha-mesim. There never is a chovas ha-tzibur in kavod ha-chayim. The Kavod HaChayim element of Nichum Avelim is only done by the Yachid, it's not done by the Tzibur. Maybe that's the Kamash Malan of the Gemara. That's why we don't do the Nichum Avelim B'Shura again after Yantif. Alt the Kavod HaChayim. Because the Tzibur only does, Kavod HaMesim doesn't get to do Kavod HaChayim. Okay. Right, there's more in this Mishnah Siyavit, but I said I would talk about Chadash a little bit, so let's talk about Chadash a little bit. On Daf Mem Aleph, I would strongly recommend reading that Mishnah Siyavit, by the way. Beautiful, beautiful piece. On Daf Mem Aleph, the Gemara had said that there is this idea that the new grains, I mean, it's a pasuk in the Torah, there is this idea, pasuk Vayikra Perichav Gimel, pasuk Yod Dalit, Ferish a pasuk in the Torah, that new grains that grew this year are going to be usher until the Karban Omer is brought. Once the Karban Omer is brought, it's matir the Tevuah Chadasha. It's matir all the grain that grew since last Pesach. Right? All of that grain was usher until the Karban Omer is brought. Fine. We just learned in the Daf Yomi today, and the Gemara talks about a little bit over here. What if you don't have a Beis HaMikdash? When does the new grain become mutter if you don't have a Beis HaMikdash? So, the Gemara seems like it says that Mishaheir Mizrach. That really, when you don't have a Beis HaMikdash, second day of Pesach in the morning, you don't have a Karban Omer, that's when the Chadash becomes mutter. There's even one Shita in the Gemara in Menachos, Daf Samaches, that even when you had a Beis HaMikdash, Rabbi Yochanan Shlagash hold Mishaheir Mizrach is Matir L'Chadash. Pasuk says when it's when you bring the carbon, how could they say early in the morning the Chadash is ready Mutter? No, the Gemara says that's just a mitzvah L'Chadchila. Mitzvah L'Chadchila is to wait till the carbon Omer. But really, really, right away in the morning it's Mutter. On the flip side, our Gemara says here, Me'malvan Beis and the Gemara Menachos, that when we say that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was misakin at the entire second day of Pesach, you're not allowed to eat the new grains when we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, it wasn't really his takana, that's really the Din D'Oraisa. It just means that Darash V'Hiskin, that he publicized an already existing Din D'Oraisa. Right, that's our Gemara about Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yehuda, who criticized Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, didn't understand what Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was saying. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was really just saying that was the Din D'Oraisa. Fine. Now, the obvious question, problem, and issue to deal with is that if you were to ask the 10 people in the room right now, how many of us are careful about eating chadash? Probably 9 of us would say that we're not careful about eating chadash. I'm guessing. I'm not the one. I'm just guessing there isn't one. What? I don't know. I'm just guessing 9 out of 10 Jews will say that they're not careful not to eat chadash. So where does that come from? Are there 90% of Orthodox Jews are bad people who blatantly violate Nisa Daraisa? So 10% of Orthodox Jews will tell you yes, right? But the 90% will tell you no. So how? Where does it come from? What's the heter? So there's a lot of heterim that are suggested. And as someone pointed out to me recently, whenever there are a lot of heterim suggested, it's a good sign that there are no good heterim that are suggested. This is a Gemara in Kiddushin, Daf Lamed Vav Amud Beis, Amud Zayin Amud Aleph. Gemara in Kiddushin tells us, where are we? What source are we? Source number 30. Kol mitzvah shi tuliyah ba'aretz ein nohagas al ba'aretz shein tuliyah ba'aretz nohagas bein ba'aretz bein b'chutz al ha'aretz. Chutz min ha'arla v'klayim Reb Lazar Omer af ha'chadosh. Tanakhama says that since chadosh is an agricultural thing, it's only in Eretz Yisrael. We don't keep it in Chutz La'aretz. Reb Lazar says, no, we keep it in Chutz La'aretz also. Af ha'chadosh, it's snowing in Chutz La'aretz. So it's Machlokas Tanan. Typically, Machlokas Tanakhama Reb Lazar, how do you paskin? So generally speaking, Machlokas Tanakhama Reb Lazar, Tanakhama. Reb Lazar Shamutehu, the Gemara says. He was from the Talmidim of Beis Shammai, he was from Cherim, something like that. So normally you paskin like the Tanakhama. Great! That's the answer we wanted. So in Chutz La'aretz you don't have to observe Chadash if you pass like Tanakama. Problem is, Rishonim don't pass them like the Tanakama. A lot of the Rishonim, Rav Minyan Abinyan, seem to pass them like Rav Lazar. The Rambam, the Rif, the Rush, and therefore the Shulchan Aruch. Because Rambam, Rif, and Rush will determine the Pesach of the Shulchan Aruch. Whenever you have the Rambam, Rif, and Rush on the same team, you're in trouble. Right? So they all paskin, beferish, like the Shita of Rabbi Lazar. Why? That's wrong. You're not supposed to paskin like Rabbi Lazar. You're supposed to paskin like Tanakama, right? So there's another mission. There's a mission in Arla. Parakimel Mishnah test. Mission in Arla says, HaChadash Asur Min HaTorah Bekal Makom. Beferish Mishnah. And it's a Stam Mishnah. So you have machlokas v'archach stam. Whenever you have machlokas tanaim, and you have a stam mishnah, the stam mishnah is a very strong raya that's how we paskin. Because Rebbe was so saying that mishnah to not include the other shita. If he was so saying that mishnah to not include the other shita, it's because Rebbe was telling you you're not supposed to paskin like the other shita. You're supposed to paskin like Reb Lazar. So there are rishonim that paskin like the Tanakama. They do exist. For instance, if you look in the Aruch HaShulchan, source number 35. He writes, Rabbeinu Baruch Bala Trumos, the Arzarua, the Riva, Rabbeinu Avigdor, Maharam Mi'il Tzedek, Ra'avon, Maharil. They all pass like Tanakama. That's the Aruch HaShulchan doing his best Rav Avadya Yosef impersonation. Or if you ever read Rav Avadya Yosef's Tshuvas, if he wants to paskin one way, he'll shake out every single rabbi, whoever possibly published a sefer that paskin that way. You know, okay, the Ramah paskins this way, but Rabbeinu Baruch followed Trumas and this one and that way, like, you know, shake out everybody. So the Aruch HaShulchan is obviously struggling with the fact that Rambam, Rif, Rosh, Shulchan Aruch, all paskin Chadash is Asur, and no one does it, 9 out of 10 of us. So the Aruch HaShulchan says, okay, I got a Rabbeinu Baruch, I got a Riva, I got a Rabbeinu Avigdor. Who's Rabbeinu Avigdor? I don't know, but I got a Rabbeinu Avigdor. I find every Rishon. I'm definitely going to go to Gehenim for that remark. Rabbeinu Avigdor was probably from the Gedolei Rishonim. It's just not one of the ones that we normally paskin like. Shakes out every Rishon. Seems to be a raya from the Gemara Menachos Daf Mem Gimel, like the Tanakama, because the Gemara says, the Mishnah says that what you use for the Korban Omer has to be from Israel, and the Gemara assumes that what you use from the Korban Omer is connected to what there's an Isra of Chadash on. That you're only allowed to use for the Korban Omer what would be Chadash, the Gemara assumes. And the Gemara says, for the Korban Omer, you need to take barley from Israel. So that seems like Rabbeinu Avigdor and the Rabbeinu Baruch Lachumus and like Tanakama, that it's not knowing b'chutz laretz. That's why when you go to Eretz Yisrael, every Ashkacha in Eretz Yisrael is Makban Chadash. Over here, it's like a big deal if you have Ashkacha that tells you, it's Yashan. It's like they advertise it in big letters in the one pizza store that actually is Makban about it. But in Eretz Yisrael, if you're Ashkacha, you know, any Ashkacha, of course they're going to be Makban. Because whatever heter we're going to have is likely connected to this Machlokas Tanayim about Chutz Laretz. Likely, not necessarily. So, one simple heter that you might have is, well, I don't know, I'm buying an Entenmann's donut. I have no idea where the flour came from, I have no idea what year the flour came from, it could have been from 10 years ago, it could have been from 2 years ago, it could have been from this year, I have no idea. So what's the rule? Safek, Drabban and Lekula. Great. So maybe that's, as long as I could say that Chadash in Chutz Laretz is Drabbanan, if I could say that, the Chadash in Chutz Laretz be Drabbanan, which the Gemara says explicitly in Menachos, Chadash in Chutz Laretz, yeah?
You say the same thing by Kashrus in general, like it's something in India. I don't know if it's...
So two problems with applying Safek Drabbanan over here. Number one is, it's not a Safek when you're closing your eyes. It's not a suffix what color this bag is just because I'm closing my eyes. All I need to do is open my eyes or ask one of you. And then I'll have the answer. That's not called a suffix. The other problem is there's something called the davar sheyesh lo matirin. Something that will become mutter. La'achar zman, you're not allowed to rely on suffix. So the grain is going to be mutter la'achar zman. I can't rely on suffix rabbanu l'kula. But the truth is it probably depends on the product. The grain, yeah, will be mutlach zman, and it could have been kept in storage and hermetically sealed or whatever, you know, till next year's second day of Pesach and become mutter. Probably could have. But it's a pizza now. It's a slice of pizza. So to tell me to wait till after next year's second day of Pesach, like, you can't say it's yeshul matirin, by then it's going to be gone. It's going to be gross. It's going to be disgusting. I can't eat it then. Okay, so maybe you could argue that davar sheyesh lo matirin on a finished product that's by definition going to be ruined by then, maybe you wouldn't apply davar sheyesh lo matirin over such a long period of time. But to rely on Safek Drabbanan L'kula is very shver. Plus, it might be daraisa anyway. So, you would need a rove if you have the right to assume that the rove of the grain used by the Entenmann's company or by whatever it is that I'm buying, by the cereal companies that I buy the cereals, is Yashan, is from previous years, so that would help, that would be great. But you'd have to study the trends and what time of the year, which times of the year Rove is actually Yashan and which times it's Chadash. So obviously right now it's great. Right now you can eat everything. Because we just had the second day of Pesach be matir all of the grain that grew since last year's second day of Pesach. And the grain that grew since this year's second day of Pesach is not yet grew means took root. The grain that took root after the second day of Pesach this year is not yet in our food products. So people who are makbid for Chadash can go into any supermarket nowadays, right now, this time of year, and buy whatever they want. I mean, hashkacha, whatever, but you know, in terms of Chadash. You don't have to worry about the grains. But what are the heterim? Are there any heterim? So obviously there are heterim. The question is, are they good heterim? So, heter number one is the Taz. Taz writes, if you look in source number 39 in Yemar Mekavos, Taz writes, first of all, he says the minhag is people are not makbid. All the chachmei lunil are not makbid on chadash, and it's not shayich mutav shi shogim. It's not shayich to say, so we let people violate an aver b'shogim rather than violate b'mezus, so we're never going to tell them about it. Come on, the whole Jewish world is not violating an aver. So he says, "Nir lefiyani yestaiti lamitz chus hagun ala heter b'zeh, dahach isr chadash b'chutz laretz is machlokas tanoim, tanakam and Rav Lazar." And while we said the Rabbi and the Riff and the Rosh all passing like Rav Lazar, why do they pass like Rav Lazar? Because there's another Mishnah in Arla that's stam Mishnah like Rav Lazar. There is a rule: whenever you have a stam in a machlokas, a Mishnah that's a Stam Mishnah and a Mishnah that's a Machlokas. What do you paskin like? So the rule is it depends which came first, which was written first. So within one Masechta, you know which was written first. The one that came earlier was written first. But once you're jumping Masechtas, Rebbe didn't learn the Mishnayos and write the Mishnayos in the order that they were in the order that we have them in Shas. So we really have no idea which was written first. But it matters a lot, because if you have a Stam v'achar kach machlokas, the rule is that we don't necessarily pass like the Stam, because what happened is Rebbe taught a halacha and then later discovered that it was actually a machlokas. So in the later Mishnah, he recorded the machlokas. He didn't know that at the time that he wrote the Stam. So you don't pass like the Stam. Rebbe just was unaware of the dissenting opinion. But in the flip side, if you have a machlokas, v'achar kach Stam, then you know what happened. Rebbe taught a machlokas, and then he came to a conclusion, who's right? And therefore, later on, he taught only like one side, the Stam Mishnah. So if the Mishnah in Arla comes after the Mishnah in Kiddushin, then you have passing like Rav Lazi, you're passing like the Mishnah in Arla, and Chadash Zasser. But if the Mishnah in Arla comes before the Mishnah in Kiddushin, then you might passing like the Tanakama. So says the Taz, it's a suffix. We don't know what we're supposed to passing over here. And he writes a raya from a Gemara Nida Daf Tes that whenever you have a Shas Hadchak, you're allowed to rely al atzad of the Safek that the Stam Mishnah came first. So since it's a Shas Hadchak, says the Taz, we have nothing to eat. He really says we have nothing to drink. All they drink was beer. So he said, we'd have nothing to drink. Super Bowl parties would be terrible. No beer at all. It would be impossible. And therefore, you're allowed to be Samech B'Shas Adchak to assume that the Mishnah in Arla came first, then came the Mishnah in Kiddushin, and therefore you're allowed to pass Melech Tanakam against Reb Lazar. Problem with relying on the Taz for us is that most of our lives would not be that much changed other than the minor inconvenience of eating Jerusalem pizza instead of Sabra's, right? Is that the one? Jerusalem's one, right? Instead of Sabra's or Dave's pizza. Is Dave? Dave doesn't, I don't even know. Dave is Yes Chadash? Yashan, I mean? Yes, Yashan. So you'd be limited to Nebuch, only two pizza stores in the neighborhood instead of six or whatever. It's hard to call that a Shas Hachak. It's not like not having the only thing you have to drink. So the Taz is a little bit difficult. The Heter is good. The Heter is good when it is a Shas Hachak. But it's hard for us to rely on it. Magid Avram quotes from Rabbeinu Baruch that he's Mekel Chadash and Chutz La'aretz is Aser. But maybe even Rabbi Lazar is only Machmir in those Aratzos Hasmuchos, in the areas that are closer to Eretz Yisrael. Problem is, I mean, that's like a whopper of a Chiddush. It doesn't really say that in the Gemara or the Mishnah or anything. So that's a little bit of a difficult Chiddush to accept. Bir Agra openly rejects it. So the most famous sheet is really the sheet of the Bach, probably because Chassidim have a tradition that the sheet of the Bach is the one that HaKadosh Baruch Hu paskin like or whatever. Baal Shem Tov heard a Baskel or something that you should paskin like the Bach. So if that's how you're into paskin Yalechus, then you're great. Problem is, we have a Gemara that says that you're not allowed to paskin Yalechus that way. Okay, but the Baskel said you are, so. It depends what your style is, I guess. The Bach bases his idea based on the that maybe the Chiyuv doesn't apply to fields owned by a non-Jew. Maybe the Chiyuv is only fields owned by a Jew. Again, tremendous Chiddush. What's it based on? The Gemara connects. The Gemara says you can only bring for the Korban Omer that which had an Isser Chadash. Right? Because the Omer is Matir the Chadash. So you have to bring the Omer from Chadash, and it's Matir the Chadash. Right? You're not allowed to bring from the Korban Omer grain that was owned by a non-Jew. So it says the Bach. Therefore, put two and two together, grain owned by a non-Jew can't be subject to the Yisrael Chadash. Because the two are Tali Zebizeh. But exactly how much the Tali Zebizeh is up for debate. That's what the Bach wanted to suggest. The most interesting explanation is the Ramah. I don't have time to do the Rav. The Ramah writes that it's a Sfek Sveika. That's why it's mutter. What's the Sfek Sveika? Maybe this grain is really from last year. And even if this grain was from this year, maybe it took root before the Korban Omer was brought last year. So maybe the grain was harvested last year, and even if it wasn't harvested last year, maybe it grew last year, in which case it's last year's grain anyway. So Svek Sveika. Problem with that Svek Sveika, Rebbe Akiva points out on the spot, is it's one Safek. Was the grain from last year or from this year? You're just saying it in two different ways. If the grain was from last year, that meaning to say a Safek whether the grain was from last year, and then another Safek whether it took root last year. Took root last year is the same thing as saying it was from last year. The din is that when it takes root, that's what it's that's called last year's grain. If it took root last year, it's called last year's grain. So it's not a double Safek. That's like saying, oh, it's a tenfold Safek. Maybe it was from the first day of Nisan last year. Maybe it was from the 20th day of Adar last year. Oh, even if it wasn't the 20th day of Adar, it might have been from the 15th day of Adar last year. That's ridiculous. That's not a Svek Sveika. That's the same Safek over and over and over again. That maybe it's old. I'll try to say on Regalachas very quickly of Salvagic's Yishuv for this Ramah. Salvagic suggests that when you have grain from last year, there are two ways that it could become mutter. And he has a raya from a Rashi in tomorrow's Daf Yomi. Hopefully I'll get to say this over to the Daf tomorrow. Maybe I'll have a little more time. That if the grain was a third grown by the time the Korban Omer came around, the Korban Omer is matir the chadash. It's matir the grain. It is grain, it is chadash. Korban Omer is matir. If the grain was not yet a third grown by the time the Korban Omer came around, the grain had just taken root before the Korban Omer, it is mutter after the Korban Omer, but not because the Korban Omer was matir. It was never pre before the Korban Omer. Korban Omer was never matir. Why is it mutter? Because it's yashan. Because after the Korban Omer, this year, it's last year's grain. It just becomes yashan. But it's not that the Omer is matir the chadash, that as a pre, the Omer is matir, it's just that it becomes yashan. L'mayin nafkamina, whether Korban, either way, once the Korban Omer is brought, it's good. Right? Why do I care if the Omer was matirid or the Omer wasn't matirid? So nafkamina is if it took root and then you uprooted it and you planted it again. So if you're dealing with something that the Korban Omer was matir, then when I plant it again and it grows more, it's not going to have a new Isra Chadash because the Korban Omer was already matirid. But if the Korban Omer was never matirit, it's just that it was yashan because it took root last year, well then when I uprooted it and then planted again, now it's taking root this year. The Omer was never matirit, so it doesn't have any heter sitting on it. It was just yashan, but now it's chadash. And therefore it's going to become asher. That's how he explains the Rashi in tomorrow's daf. But you see that there are different halachos for things that are higdil shlish, that grow one-third and actually have a shame pre by the time the Korban Omer is brought. And things that only had taken root before the Korban Omer is brought. They work in two different dinim. One works midin the Korban Omer serving as a matir, and the other works just that, it's yashan, it's not the Korban Omer serving as a matir. So he says, that's the Ramah Svek Sveika. That's why it's two different dinim. Suffolk, maybe it's last year's grain, it already had a shame pre, and last year's Omer was already matirit. But even if last year's Omer wasn't matirit, maybe it at least took root last year, in which case it doesn't need the Korban Omer to be matir because it's yashan anyhow. That's the Svek Sveika. That's how he's miyashan the Svek Sveika. Okay, we'll stop there. It's been a wonderful zman. Hope to see everybody during the summer zman, and if not, then next year. Yes, Hashem. Shkayach, thank you for pushing me to learn a little bit. We will have a 10-minute halacha now for anyone who's interested.